Let's start with some prayer real quick. Father God, right now we recognize that you are God of everything. That all that we see, you've created. That all that we know, that you were there before it. God, we are a people that are flawed. That we're sinful. And we need you. And we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for sending him to this flawed world in order to save it. Not condemn it, but to save it. And right now I pray that you are in this moment, in this church, that we can be filled with the Spirit, and that we can dive into your word and gain knowledge from it. And may we use this time effectively and not waste it. It is in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to, if you look to my right, your left, we know that Mark preached on hope. He preached on peace. He preached on joy. Today we're going to wrap it up. We're going to preach on love. We're going to look at it a little bit differently, though. We're going to look at love at the very end of my sermon. We're not going to spend a lot of time. You see that it says John 3:16. That's where we're going to end. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you where we're ending. John 3:16. We're going to look at the love, this ultimate love that God had for us. I've entitled the sermon Relentless today. And as you know, if you've ever heard me preach, I like to define things. Relentless definition is this: it is ceaseless and intense, never slackening, but continuing always at the same intense, demanding, and punishing level. That is the pursuit that our God has for us. In my last communion meditation, I told you that I like to hunt. I also like to be outdoors. I like to play a lot of sports. I can usually pick up pretty quickly on it. I think I've told you about a time I broke my ankle playing volleyball. I told you about hunting. I also like to play slow pitch softball. Anyone else like to play slow pitch softball? We got a couple people. Anyways, it for me, it's a lot of fun. Like during batting practice, I can hit home runs, right? And I'm not a home run hitter, but it seems like during batting practice, I can hit a home run. Whenever it actually comes time for the game, though, I can barely hit it out of the infield. I don't know why. And so I have to rely on speed. I have to rely on being able to place my hits. It just seems that anytime I'm in a game, if I can't hit a home run. And I got to use that speed. In high school, my principal, I don't know, it was the weirdest compliment. It's kind of like a backhanded compliment, I don't know. But it was after a basketball game, and I hustle. I go all out. That's why I break my ankle and bones all the time, because I don't like to not hustle. And so it was after a basketball game, and I think I'd been on the floor a lot, just diving for balls and all that. And my principal came up to me and said, "You are like a deer in a turtle's body, a turtle shell." And so I'm like, "All right, thanks, but what does that mean? What does that mean? Are you like, am I slow, or I just look slow and I'm fast, or such a weird compliment?" But I'm quicker than I look. And when it comes to softball and not being able to hit home runs like a bunch of the other guys can, you kind of rely on that speed, you rely on that quickness and that ability to place the balls wherever you need to. And so at our last church, we had a gym. We had a family life center, and it had a pretty nice basketball court in it. And we would play a lot. We'd have guys from the community come and play. A lot of them weren't Christians. A lot of them didn't know who Christ was, but they knew that we had a basketball court and that we were going to play ball. And so we would play a lot. A guy named Wes that would come, he would come and play basketball with us. He also played slow pitch softball. And he found out that I did as well. And he said, "Hey, do you want to come play on my team?" And so I was like, "Sure." And so I went and played on a tournament with this guy's team. This guy was Wes' team. Now, Wes Great guy, just fun to be around. His teammates were the exact opposite of me. I mean, they had probably already had a 12-pack before we even started the tournament. And it was a rough crowd that I was with. And so we had a lot of fun. We played a game or two. It seems like every time I play slow pitch, I slide. And this was a terrible field, cut out my leg. And so I went home in between games. And we had a lot of fun playing the games that we did play. And I went home, I cleaned up my leg, and went back. And they were all gathered around waiting for our next game. And I heard one of them say, "Hey guys, the preacher's back. Better clean it up." Everywhere I go, and you can ask Mark, once they find out you're a preacher, it's like, "I'm clean. I'm good. I didn't say a bad word. I didn't do anything." See, I find it as a thing of respect because I had a positive influence on them, and they saw how I acted. It was a rough crowd, I get it. And they were just trying to make sure that they made themselves appear to be clean and good. But I think that I had a positive influence on them because not only did they see, they knew I was a preacher, but they saw my work ethic and how I played softball. They saw that I was all about going out and going, giving it my best effort. And they saw that I was real with them. I'm going to challenge you guys to be real today. We're going to talk about with this relentless pursuit. And that's where I was. That's why I cut up my leg. That's why I seem to break an ankle playing volleyball. That's why I do these things. Because I am relentless in how I play the game. And I'm real. I'm not fake. If you slow down in the softball field, you're not going to make that first base because you can't hit a home run. It demands for you to give everything. And these guys, little did they know that I was giving them everything. And that because I was a preacher, I was having a positive influence. I want you guys to know that in your lives, every single day, you are making an influence. You're having an influence, a positive one or a negative one. But you have an influence on those that are around you. So whether they say, "Hey, the preacher's back, better clean it up. Hey, that's good. I like it." Or they say, "You know what, I can act the same around you. I can, because you're just like me." We're going to look at three different scriptures where we can look at relentless, where we can see a pursuit. Whether it was just like going for the first base in the softball field, whether it was being real with those around you that don't want to be real. But we're going to look at three passages and then pull out some truth nuggets. We're going to pull out some behaviors that we can learn from. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 15 today. Luke chapter 15. We're going to start with 1 through 7. We're going to look at the lost sheep. I know we've preached on this, and we've preached on the woman and the lost coin, we've preached on the lost son, but we're going to look at these today, hopefully pulling out some behaviors that we can learn about what relentless was, what relentless means to God, what relentless means for us, and what relentless means for the lost. Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And we're going to go ahead and read the rest of these as well. So just stay in Luke 15. We're going to read Woman and the Lost Coin, and then we're going to talk about all these. Verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully till she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Parable of the lost son, verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come. And your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. If you're a note taker, we're going to take a look back at the lost sheep here. I know it's on the screen. Is that too small for you? Can you guys read that? Just a few little tidbits about these, and then we're going to go into these three behaviors or three truth nuggets that I want to pull out. But the shepherd theme was familiar. They understood it. You see that all throughout the Old Testament. You see the shepherd. You see that they would go and they would fight for their flock. And you see that it says the shepherd's joy overflowed. Once he found that lost sheep, what did he do? He threw it on, then he got home and let his all of his neighbors and buddies know that, hey, I found the lost sheep. He couldn't contain it. He couldn't contain that joy. He didn't want to contain that joy. We're going to find a contrast here between what the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to and then the love of God. We're going to find a contrast there. That God rejoices over the one sinner, the sinner that comes home. We say that the Pharisees don't get it. They feel that they don't need to repent. We're going to find a contrast that the teachers of the law and the religious leaders, they didn't want to have to follow something new. It's kind of ironic because they didn't even feel like they needed to repent, did they? The righteous didn't need to repent. We all need Jesus. We're only made righteous through Christ. But he couldn't contain his joy. There's some things that we can really learn from this. One, we need Jesus. God wants us to come back. He wants us to come home. He wants his followers to follow him day in and day out. Let's go to the next one real quick. We have the lost coin. We see that she searched diligently. She searched carefully. And what happened when she finds it? Her joy overflows. She couldn't contain it. What did she do? She found it. And she let everyone know that she found it. God's joy is the same way. We see it in the stories that Jesus tells here. That the joy overflows. The angels of the Lord rejoice when one comes home, when one repents. And then we have the lost son, which to me is an amazing story. I love this story. It was highly unusual for a father, just for this request, for the younger son, not even the oldest son, but the younger son. It was highly unusual for them to request to get that portion. This would have taken some time for it to happen. And yet the father did it. He gathered the stuff. I think it's amazing that the son went. He squandered it. Then he went and worked with the pigs, they were unclean to him. This was a distasteful job for him. And then yet he wanted to eat what the pigs ate. This is like the lowest of lows. Have you ever been that low? They say you have to hit rock bottom to work your way back up. Can I tell you a quick story? It's pretty awesome. It might not have anything to do with this. It's kind of a rabbit trail. My brother Aaron was addicted to pretty much everything. Maybe I've told you this before. One day he was on uppers and just everything. I mean, they found everything in his system. He wound up at a gas station, just high as a kite, out of his mind, resisted arrest, all of that. And they took him to a hospital, like 10 blocks away. And they put him in this little, I don't even know what kind of area it would be, but it was some kind of, for addicts, ICU type of thing. And they took him off, all of this stuff. And we knew that for years, it was going to have to be rock bottom for him to work his way back up. And they took him off all of this stuff, and he was going through all the withdrawals. Oh, man, that's a tough one. He was going through all of that. I tell you, he goes to church now every Sunday. He's in the Word. I mean, he's in the Word more than anyone I know. He can tell you the Word. He's a follower of Christ. He's cleaned up. He's sober. And it's all because of the grace of God. And I relate this, my brother's story, which is, that's not even a fraction of his story, to the lost son here that we read about. He had to hit rock bottom, something that was so unclean for him, something that it was just not good for him. He had squandered everything. And yet, we find him at the end of the story with a robe on, with a ring on his finger, accepted as a son. And what happened? The father found his son, and what happened? Joy overflowed. There are three behaviors that we learn in the examples. One main theme is this relentless pursuit of the lost. This relentless pursuit of the lost. The lost coin, there's a relentless pursuit for it. And the lost animal, the lost sheep, there's a relentless pursuit for it. And the lost person, there's a relentless pursuit of him. The first behavior that we learn is the behavior that it takes to follow Christ. To follow him without ceasing, intensely and intentionally, a relentless pursuit in knowing who he is and how God is using you. Anyone ever lost their keys before? Raise your hand. Don't lie to me. I'm a preacher, remember? I've lost my key. I mean, it's a weekly thing. We lose them. There's one time when we lose something, we lose the keys, we lose Sleepy Bear, we lose whatever it is. We turn the house upside down to do it. Cushions are out of the couch. We just tear it all up to find this lost something. Anyone ever been there? One time, actually this is most times, we find it in Carol's pocket or something. Or Carol's purse. One time we even found them on the outside of the door when we unlocked the door to get in. And we locked everything down for the night. Next morning we couldn't find them. Opened the door and they're still hanging in the door. But it's a relentless pursuit for that lost item every single time. That is how we are to be in our pursuit for Christ. It's a relentless pursuit. It's intense. Almost at a punishing level, like the definition said. Never slackening, never giving slack, never easing up. But it's a relentless pursuit of Christ. We learn this behavior because the story that Jesus told, these parables that Jesus told, was about one, God for us, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But a behavior that we can learn to follow Christ. Following Christ is an intentional behavior. It's not always easy. Sometimes, most of the times, it's messy. And at times, it'll be the hardest thing you've ever done. But it is what we should desire. It is what we should want. And it is something that we should be disciplined in doing. Focused, intentional, ceaseless, never stopping. And finally, with joy, we should be doing this. Not because we have to, but because we desire to. We shouldn't be asking what God wants from us. And I know that's a question that we always ask. What does God want from me? Because if we're in the Word of God, we should know what God wants from us, right? If we're in the Word of God, we know what God wants from us. We shouldn't have to be questioning our faith in eternity, because if we would live out your faith fully, your focus is not on yourself, but on others' eternity. We learn this relentless pursuit of Christ just from these stories. The second thing we learn is that we also are to be relentless in the pursuit of the lost. Now there's a way to be relentless in the pursuit of loss that is tactful. There's a way that is not tactful. In our Sunday school, we're reading through a book called Firestarter. And this girl, just in the past few chapters, this girl is just telling everyone that they're going to hell. That might not be the most tactful way. And she's ticking a lot of people off in the book. It is a way. But Jesus is so much more than that. We learn that we are to be relentless in our pursuit of the lost, that we must be bold in our teaching, that we must be bold in our training and evangelism. It's easy to preach to the choir, right? It's easy to go into the churches and speak to people who already know about Christ. It's easy to go into our homes to talk about Christ if Christ is already in the conversation. But reaching the lost demands for us to be something that maybe we currently are not. Selfless. To actually have a concern for the lost. To actually have a concern for others. To be passionate and compassionate. To actually having the courage to go against the grain of the world. Evangelizing the lost can be hard to do as well. Telling someone else about Christ, giving them the message of love, of grace, of forgiveness, it can be extremely hard. Not because the message is difficult, because that's rather simple. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He raised from the dead so that you could have eternity in heaven with Him. That's pretty simple. But we make it hard because of fear, maybe. Maybe this fear of rejection. People of the world struggle to believe that someone can forgive them for the stuff that they did or stuff that they do. People of the world can't understand grace because in their world, if you've messed up, then you are a mess up. What the world is believing is not the truth, and if we are not willing to tell them the truth, the simple truth, then who will? We have to be relentless in our pursuit for the lost. We have to tell them the gospel of Jesus. We have to tell them the gospel of love. If we can tell them of hope, peace, joy, why not tell them of love? Because love is the thing that fueled our eternity. We need to be like that widow who lost the coin. We need to be like the shepherd who went after the one. We need to be like the father searching for his son. People are lost. People are dying without Christ. And that responsibility now falls on you. It falls on me. To help these people live. To help these people live even through death. To help them live eternally. Finally, the last thing we learn, and maybe most importantly here, we learn of God's relentless pursuit of his people. I want you to hear this. He does not waver in his pursuit for us. He does not cease to desire us. He does not refuse to love us. He does not back down. He does not end his search for us when we have turned away. His love is pretty intense. And by way of definition, intense is, this is how you define it, of extremely earnest or serious. God is extremely serious about you. By way of God, intense love looks like this. A man hanging on a cross. You see, we were a lost people. We are a lost people. We were lost to Christ. We were that way up until the point that we made Jesus the center of our life, the leader of our life. And if Christ is not there, here's the harsh truth. If Christ is not at the center of your life, then you are lost. You were lost right now. We were just like that young son who took everything that was going to be his. It would not be an easy thing for the father to do that. I mean, if this guy was really that wealthy, it would take days for this to happen. For him to gather up the inheritance and to go away. To get all the cattle round up, to get all the money, to get this all figured out. It was a process. But the father went ahead and did that in the story. Despite how he felt about it. And I bet from that day on, from when the son left, it was when we learn of the father looking off in the distance for his son to come back. Day after day, I want you to imagine with me, day after day, looking for his son to come home, he would go to the spot that he would go that had the best look, and he would look off in the distance. He'd see someone walking, like, no, that's not him. That's not the way he walks. And the next day he'd come, he'd look off, and then, nope, that's not him, that's a cow. And he'd look off again the next day and say, you know what? That's kind of his gait. That's kind of the way he walks. You know, I think that he got a little bit closer. I think that's my son. Any one of us would have just sat there in our chair. We might have got a chair pulled up, sat there and waited for him to come to us, right? Because he wronged us. He took our stuff. He did something against us. But what do we see the father in this story? He thought that the man, his son, that walked away, he wasn't going to be there anymore. But yet he still had this relentless pursuit to go out to look for his son coming back. And he realized that his relentless pursuit to keep looking paid off. And he did not just pull up a lawn chair and sit and wait. He went towards him. He went running towards him. And he put a robe on him and put his ring on him. This father in this story, it's an awesome father. He sets to meet him. He runs to him. He picks him up. He hugs him. He kisses him. He rejoices because his son has come home. His love was never ceasing. His grace had never stopped. And his pursuit of his son was relentless. And the awesome thing about this story is that it is true for every one of us. That this just isn't a relatable story, but this is truth of God's love that is never ceasing, that his grace never stops, and his pursuit for his people, for you and me, is relentless. He seeks us out. He looks for us to turn from our ways, to choose him. And we may fail. We're going to fail at times, all the time. But his gaze never stops. His will never wavers. He pursues us and he desires us. That is the God that we serve. He loves us. I was going to play a video right here, but it didn't come up. Like, the video part came, but the sound did not. Has anyone ever heard the song, When God Ran? It's by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And if you've never heard it, go home, Google it. Siri, look up When God... I'm just kidding. When God Ran by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And you have this story of the son that went away. And he looks in the distance and he comes and he runs to him. He sees him. He picks him. He grabs him. He kisses him. And there's a line in that song. It says, and he called me son. And then there's like this pause. You just hear the music. And then it says, he called me son. That's my favorite part of the song. Because that is how God views us. His relentless pursuit of us, all in order to call us son. You can choose to reject it. You can choose to dismiss this love of God. You may be telling yourselves, I'll save it for another day. God will be there. But God's love for us is intense. And he's brought that to you today. So much intensity in this love that his perfect son would become dirty for us. A perfect person, a perfect God willing to take on the dirt in our lives, to take on our sins, to take on our failures and faults, all because he loves us. If you are without Christ in your life, you are lost. And you will remain so until Christ is the center of your life. And maybe you've already said that. You know, I'm following Christ. And you've collected your inheritance and ran away. It's not how it works. You need to be made clean. Maybe you are on the right track already. You have Christ, you're in the Word daily, but you just haven't taken it to that next level. What's stopping you from reaching the lost? Fear? Is it fear? Is it fear of failure? Fear of rejection? Fear of isolation? Fear of vulnerability? Can I tell you a secret? Those are all things of the world. Those are not things of Christ. Be bold, be courageous, be vulnerable, be willing. Do not be stubborn. Come back home. He will grab you up and he will rejoice. The only part that we have now to do is to turn to him. When you're playing softball, that first base feels like forever when you just hit it to second baseman. But it is the relentless pursuit to get where you need to go. God has that relentless pursuit all about you. Remember, it's all about him. But he wants you. Everything we do needs to bring glory to him. But he wants you. It's amazing that the Father, the creator of everything, desires us. Now is the time. Now is the place to embrace him as he has sought you out for his own. A relentless pursuit. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have the band come back up. And we're going to have an opportunity for you to I mean, this isn't the distance from first to home to first base. But you're going to have an opportunity to come right up here. We're going to have our elders here to pray for you. Maybe you are lost without Christ and you want Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for convictions. We thank you for challenges. God, I pray that we do not leave here the same, but that we give everything to you, holding nothing back to bring glory to you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.